make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there. And he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Well, thankfully, when we get into next week, it will in fact be draft week.
It'll
only be
stretch.
A matter of days. We're down the home stretch, thank God, because this thing is just, Nathan, it's just dragged on just far too long. I think the NFL, which thought, oh, this might not be a bad experiment, even if it was a circumstantial one because of some conflict with the Rockettes at Radio City Music Hall, you know, even if it was that, they were hoping, hey, let's see what a couple of weeks of draft talk, extra draft talk will make this event even bigger and even better. And I think it's blown up on them. I don't think, as much as we all love this stuff, get into this stuff, talk about this stuff, I think the 2 extra weeks has too many.
I think everybody's just about had it, and I think you're absolutely right. It would be nice for this to be done. But as you pointed out, we are definitely in the home stretch. We've got this weekend, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then finally – it will begin Thursday, May the 8th, which will be very, very good for all of us and certainly, hopefully, very, very good for the Cleveland Browns, a team that we know can make a big impact in this draft with all the picks that they have. And Notorious, I want to go ahead and get right out of the top. We'll go to, you know, the Ohio Business Machines, hot topics of the day. I like the exercising of the fifth-year option on Phil Taylor, just another example of being committed to keeping the young core talent together. And now the next step for me will be seeing somebody sign here like a Joe Hayden to further cement keeping this core together. But I love what Ray Farmer and company did picking up the option on Phil Taylor.
That was a big move. That was an important move. He's a core guy. Like you said, keeping the young talent in place. But I need to see these other deals done. I need this to get past the talking stage. Joe Hayden addressed it with the media yesterday, and I thought he was pretty diplomatic, but it's got to get done. And obviously, it's not an easy thing to get done because in his case, the numbers are stratospheric for cornerbacks. Richard Sherman took care of that with his situation with the Seahawks, although that's not even done yet, but that's
right
up there.
I don't think Joe Hayden will sign until Richard Sherman is signed.
Well, that's the point. So you're playing that waiting game, which is totally understandable by Joe, by his representation. That's a smart thing to do. You and I in the same circumstances would do exactly that. But, again, what is the level that you're going to talk about when that number is done? And for the Browns, I mean, you know, it's easy for us to say, hey, just pay him. Just pay the man. Just give him whatever he wants. But I think there has to be a certain rhyme or a reason to that. That's what Ray Farmer is trying to figure out. Obviously, the Browns, the collective brain trust here, Alex Shiner, the team president, everybody who's involved, Sashi Brown, the executive vice president, who get involved with these business elements for player contracts. And let's just see how that all plays itself out. And you still have the situation with Jordan Cameron. You still have a situation eventually looming with Josh Gordon, although I don't know that that's anything that's happening imminently, but that's very much in play. Jabal Sheard is another guy who's on this punch list that's there. So seeing how all these come together is going to be very interesting.
It is going to be interesting, but at least, you know, Phil Taylor, that one, they've gotten some extra time there, made a commitment to him. The Mac situation, at least, you know, you've done some good things there as well. So hopefully that's something that will continue. I'd say a couple other hot topics today brought to you by Ohio Business Machines. Vince Young and Tyler Thigpen, both quarterbacks signed. And I guess the question there is, does this impact the Browns' draft plans when it comes to the quarterback position? And that's certainly something we'd like to hear from you on, 216-578-0850, or you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. My opinion on that, Vic, is that it does not impact the Browns' draft plans when it comes to a quarterback. I don't think either one of these guys are considered more than depth and maybe guys that can help you out if something were to happen. But ultimately, this is still a team that I think is in need of a franchise quarterback and someone who can compete with Brian Hoyer to be the week one starter. And while I've never thought they were taking a quarterback at four, I continue to not think that they are taking a quarterback at four. It just kind of, to me, it doesn't matter. If there's a guy they have conviction about at four and I didn't know about it, great, they'll take him at four. If they don't have conviction about a guy, they'll take a guy later on. But I still think they're drafting a quarterback, and they're drafting one relatively early.
Sure. Yeah, these moves don't impact the draft plan at all. The draft plan's set, and I do think, as you do, that it involves getting a quarterback. These moves, the Vince Young, Tyler Thigpen additions, were just prudent, smart things to do when you're in the offseason and you've got these mini camp workouts and you're seeing, okay, enough from each guy to say that they're more than just your basic arms. Last year, they'd gone through some of these drills and similarly did some things where you brought in a couple of guys whose names escape me now, and they threw a little bit, and then they were gone. They were literally just the available arms. Maybe with a Vince Young and Tyler Thigpen, given that they've had some time in the league, maybe it's a little more than that type of thing. But in terms of affecting the dynamic of the quarterback position, not at all.
Not at all.
You take a look, you see what you got. Hey, maybe one of those guys is the veteran that you could hang on to be – along with Brian Hoyer, to be in the grouping of three. That's conceivable. But the franchise quarterback, the long-term answer for this football team, I still say is going to show up next week.
I certainly hope he will show up next week. We obviously had a spirited debate yesterday about Johnny Manziel, some of the other quarterbacks that are possible.
Wait,
for
Johnny
the Cleveland
who?
Browns. Johnny who?
Johnny.
What? I haven't heard about that guy for a while.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. We have talked about him. One other thing that I think is a hot news item on the day is that the Jacksonville Jaguars general manager Dave Caldwell said today that he does not expect to have Justin Blackmon on the field in 2014, which I think would have to make it seem a little bit more likely that they could go Sammy Watkins at number three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're right about that. And I started to think about that as well, that when you hear what Caldwell is saying, and theirs is a murky situation with quarterback, or at least it seemed to be. But if you're to believe what Caldwell is saying now, maybe they're not going to be as inclined to do the quarterback thing, which some people think, and go and get a Watkins there. And you would figure that he'd be in the mix at that point. Where I don't see Sammy Watkins in the mix, though, is for sure at number one. I mean, I'm looking in Rick Smith, the general manager of the Texans, said yesterday he knows who they want to get. He's narrowed this down. It's one guy, and they should. They really should by now. The obvious to say that. Okay, Captain Obvious, we're doing something. We know who we're picking, but He obviously wants someone to say, do you want our pick? And I don't think he believes, or the Texans believe, and I talked with John McClain about this, I get the sense that within the Texans organization, there is not a lot of confidence they're going to get an offer that bowls them over to trade that pick, because they just don't know that anyone else sees the value at number one. What it would take to get there would be so prohibitive that they're going to have to keep the pick, make the pick.
And I think that's what's going to happen. I think there's no question, in my opinion, that they're going to end up, you know, taking either Jadeveon Clowney, or I think it's possible they take Khalil Mack. To me, it's going to be one of those guys, one of those pass rushers. It was interesting yesterday, you know, following along on Twitter, at one moment you had a guy say Atlanta's completely out of the mix, and literally 5 seconds later, Ian Rapoport said Atlanta is still in the mix. Buffalo is in the mix. I think Buffalo's a team that would like to move up. I think that the trade downs are going to come either from two with the St. Louis Rams or from four with the Cleveland Browns. I think that's where the trade down happens. I think at number one, it's just too prohibitive, and I don't know that there's somebody that anybody has that consensus about that is going to be that high level. You know, I just don't know that they're willing to pay, as you said, the price it would take to come up there just to get number one.
Because, again, when you think about what that costs and how it can really impact your whole team and your future when you tie it up into one guy. Is there, in Jadeveon Clowney or Khalil Mack, let's just use those two names, is there a guy like that that you would look at one of those two guys and say, the future of our franchise would be in the hands of that player and we're in good shape because of it? We'll give up so much other assets that we can't add elsewhere. Because who can afford not to add other players? I don't know that team. And that would include the teams that finished in the Super Bowl. Everybody wants more assets. Everybody needs more assets. This is a high attrition game, so I can't envision that. The only way I would see someone going to the top, and this by all accounts is not the draft that you would do it, is to get a quarterback. But that guy isn't there.
That's exactly. That's the only thing you see a team maybe mortgage itself for. In the old days, it would be for a running back, you know, like Ricky Williams.
Right.
But nowadays, yes, you mortgage the future only pretty much for a quarterback, like we saw the Washington Redskins do for RG3. I don't think you're going to see much of that. And that's why there isn't that type of a dominant figure in this year's draft class. Now, it is interesting because with Justin Blackmon out for Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
and for their GM to say that, I think, you know, the Rams are certainly a possibility for Watkins, and now Jacksonville, I think, is a strong possibility for Watkins. There could be a scenario where Khalil Mack is on the board at number four for the Browns, and I think that would be excellent. I think if you're a Browns fan and you're a person who is of the idea that the Browns would like to trade back just a little bit, then you want Watkins or Mack on the board. I think the worst-case scenario in terms of being able to move out of the fourth spot would be if Clowney, Watkins, and Mack are the top three, because I'm not sure if anybody would then trade up for Robinson,
right,
because you still have Matthews, you still have Taylor Lewan. To me, it's if somebody decides that, you know, the fall-off after Mack is that big, that you are after between Clowney and Mack, that if Mack were on the board, somebody might come up for Mack. Now, somebody could, we've heard the 49ers be interested in Mike Evans, but that would be a long way to go down for the Browns and much farther, certainly, than I would want to go.
Yeah, all those scenarios make sense. What's interesting, too, Nathan, is what triggered the discussion we had yesterday about Johnny Manziel were reports in multiple places that are connecting the Browns with Johnny Manziel, either via mocks or via tweets or whatever, insider information that says Browns are all aboard with Johnny Manziel at number four. And that obviously pushed us, or certainly me and then you, into that conversation. But the more I've looked and studied just what the media is saying about our team after I got off the air yesterday and spent more time going over this, you know, the week starts with Peter King in Monday Morning Quarterback saying the Browns are, quote, smitten with Blake Bortles. Smitten was the word. You saw that probably.
Yes.
So they were smitten with Bortles. Adam Kaplan from ESPN, in a mock draft and emphatically in other places that I've seen him comment, said, there is no question at number four, they are drafting Derek Carr. Derek Carr's their guy. They love Derek Carr. In other reports, and by the way, on today's show, Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, she's done some reporting on this, the idea that the Browns would love Carr, want to get Carr, and then I think there were reports out there as of, was it yesterday or last night, not only drafting Carr, but then signing his brother David as the backup.
Right.
Which, to have a brother duo. So I'm just saying, now I'm to the point where you've got definitive, you got all these, quote, I put it in, I'm making the air quotes, definitive comments about or connections between the Browns and a quarterback and these names. And now I'm done with it. I'm saying, you know, believe in nothing because it's just too much. So anyway, 216-578. Right? I mean,
yeah,
we're done.
Listen, and that's the thing. A lot of people that I've talked to around league say they actually have zero clue what the Cleveland Browns are going to do. So I think that the Browns are in a great position at number four. Nobody knows what they want to do. They will likely have an opportunity to move if they want to move. If not, they're going to get one of the guys that is a consensus top four player on everybody's board.
Right.
And that's not a bad situation to be in for the Cleveland Browns. Is it going to be quarterback at four? I still don't think so, but we certainly will find that out. And finally, we can say, less than 1 week's time, Joining us today on the show, Charles Davis from the NFL Network, who's an NFL Network analyst, and he's on Monday through Friday on Path to the Draft. He'll be with us at 1:30. Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer will be with us at 2. We'll play a little fact or fiction in the second hour, but we do want to hear from you. Do you think Vince Young, Tyler Thigpen, does that impact the Browns' draft plans when it comes to quarterback? What do you think about the move to lock up Phil Taylor and exercise that 50-year option, or just any other draft questions or Browns questions you have? Hit us, 216-578-0850.